FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, November 25th, 2024, episode 25. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg DFS, joined by my Monday co-host, it's Mike Randall. Mike, how you doing, man?
Don't look now. Here come the Bucks. Just when I'm ready to bury them, they're coming on like a ton of bricks. God bless Giannis, showing how great he truly is. But I'm doing well, my friend. Getting to the end here of group stage, getting to some exciting games. Thanksgiving, of course, this week, favorite holiday for both of us. We mentioned that last time. Good stuff all around.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just jump into the NBA Cup results from last Friday. Because like you mentioned, right, we're getting down to it. Three more group stage days, or slates, rather, ahead of us. But Friday gave us some clarity into at least a number of these groups, because you look at the Warriors, that's where I want to start pulling up the NBA Cup standings. The Warriors defeat New Orleans on the road. They're 3-0. They win West Group C, meaning that they are the first team to qualify for the knockout rounds. And at the same time, New Orleans eliminated, sitting at 1-2. So really, I think no surprise there, especially with the shorthanded nature of New Orleans over the last couple of weeks. Now, they are getting healthier here, Mike. So I think brighter days are ahead for the Pelicans. CJ McCollum will be active tonight here on Monday. Brandon Ingram questionable. DeJounte Murray will be back on Wednesday night. And some questions surrounding Zion. His absence going to extend into December, potentially longer. And whoever is on his team that made the not so brilliant decision to put out a video of him getting a new tattoo on his back and showing his gut hanging well over his waistline, again, at least for a basketball player. He looks like Celtics Shaq. Mike, I don't know what he's doing, but Warriors, Pelicans, what do you got?
Yeah, that's my issue with Zion. That was my issue coming out of college. You have to have the work ethic to get to that level. He was talented in terms of athleticism on the college level, but he was an undersized forward. So he's going to eventually lose his elevation, his explosiveness. And I'm not saying he's lost a ton of it. I'm saying it's starting to deteriorate. So what happens is you fall back on work ethic, the legendary work ethics of Kobe Bryant and people like that. And I really think he was a player that people didn't realize had to overcome limitations. Sure, his first game years when he played, he was dominant. But that's not going to last. It's not surprising. I get it. Laughing here, it's a mistake. And I remember that gif of all those people in the ticket office clapping when they had, you know, all that. I don't know, Zach, this is going the wrong way. Hard to see him all of a sudden clicking and getting it and turning it around, but not surprised when I saw that. Just shook my head.
Yeah, and again, I know we started talking about the Warriors here, but like, this jogged my memory. Our discussion here on Zion is about his contract. Remember that extension he got, right? Paid him a lot of money, and they're paying him this money, this contract, for him to hit that ceiling outcome. But they have built in these kind of tiers of guarantees, mm-hmm. right? Zion has 6 weigh-in checkpoints during this season. To pass, his body fat percentage and weight must add up to no more than 295 if he passes all 6 of those checkpoints, which I don't know, Mike. I'm not sure. Then 20% of his salary next year will become guaranteed. If he plays in at least 41 games this season, another 40%. If he plays in 51 games, another 20% on top of that. And if he plays in at least 61 games and doesn't violate the weight clause, his entire salary for next season will become guaranteed. But when I'm reading that stuff off, it's not just the weight check-ins, which I have questions on if he's going to pass the next one. He has to play games, and he's missing so many to start the season. This could go south over the next 6 months in a big, big way.
My favorite equation as a former math teacher, Ja greater than Zion, and positivity, Zach. Ja was present at shoot-around today. That's all I'm going to say on this topic.
There you go. So elsewhere in the Cup on Friday, we had the Celtics defeating the Wizards, unsurprisingly. But Atlanta lost to the Bulls, so we are setting up for a photo finish here in East Group C. We've got the Hawks and the Celtics, both 2-1. Hawks are behind on point differential, but right now leading the group, because head-to-head is the first tiebreaker. So the Hawks are in first, Celtics 2-1. We know the Celtics took out the Cavs. Cavs are 1-1. Bulls are 1-1. So still 4 teams alive in this group. Definitely looking forward to East Group C and the way that this will play out. Then your Bucks took out the Pacers. They are now tied with the Pistons at the top of East Group A at two, or East Group B, rather, at 2-0. Those teams will meet on the final day of the group stage in that group. So we've got the potential for a 3-0 showdown if the Bucks can take care of the Heat and the Pistons can defeat the Pacers. Did you get to watch any of that one?
Yeah, I did. You know what's funny, Zach? Did the Atlanta Hawks need to have the NBA Cup to get themselves going? I feel like they've brought it up a notch since coming into the Cup after being very disappointing. Celtics, solid. Cavs as well. The Bucks, I was impressed with. I actually went against my Bucks in a couple wagers and lost them. That's my old, I'm happy either way. Okay. And I was impressed. Giannis is going to have to perform like a Jokic level player for this team. And he can do it. And hopefully the defense will be figured out along the way. But very impressive here. Bucks sitting at 2-0. Big matchup coming up with Miami. Not sure how I feel about that one. But yes, pleasantly surprised. 2 in a row for the Bucks. Very happy.
Yeah, you mentioned the Hawks. 2-1 in group play in the Cup. 5-9 the rest of the way. So maybe it is the NBA Cup that they are rising up to meet the occasion. Out West, the Rockets take command of West Group A with their win over the Blazers. So sitting at 2-0, everybody in that group has at least one loss, or the other four teams rather, but Minnesota and Sacramento still on the group stage schedule here for the Rockets, both on the road. So not going to get easier for the Rockets to win this group outright. Dallas also beat Denver to stay alive for the West wild card in West Group C. Of course, the Warriors have already won that group, but Dallas can get to 3-1 and potentially get into the knockout rounds in the wild card. Group stage, Mike, going all the way to Tuesday, December 3rd. So 8 days from now will be our final group stage slate. And then it is another week until the knockout rounds begin on December 10th. And we'll talk about Tuesday's games in our games we want to watch segment here a little bit later. Anything else for you on Friday's results?
I was looking at coach of the year odds over the weekend. You know, I obviously Kenny Atkinson, we've talked about him, and Joe Mazzulla is great with the Celtics, but Ime Udoka has been fantastic. Really, boy, can he coach? He laid the groundwork for that Celtic team. This Houston team is 2-0, playing, I think, above their heads. I was kind of waiting for things to stop and for them to come down, but they are buying into what he's selling, and they are a tough matchup here. Nice cover against my Bucks last week. But yes, I Udoka should be higher in the coach of the year balloting. I don't want to hear Steve Kerr. I get it, and I understand Klay Thompson, but Udoka's very sneaky, under the radar, has done a remarkable job with the Rockets.
Yeah, like that call. Let's talk about some other teams. First, let's talk about teams that are on win streaks. We've got two teams right now on five-game winning streaks, and one of them, the Boston Celtics. That's no surprise, and I think a five-game win streak doesn't really even register on our win streak Richter scale, so to speak. But one that does for me is the Clippers. Winners of five straight, Mike, 11-7 now, so tied for fourth in the West with the LA Lakers, not even across town. Or I guess they are across town now, right? Because they're not in the same arena. See, that slips my mind here early in the season. But just two games back of the top seed now, more than a month into the season. So in the last three games during this streak, Norman Powell, their leading scorer, has not been active. So I'm doing a little bit of a deeper dive on the Clippers and their 11-7 start to the year. Mike, they have wins over the Nuggets, two wins over the first place Golden State Warriors, two wins over the Sacramento Kings. They beat Orlando, of course, without Paolo, but there was also no Norm Powell in that game. So to me, that is also a quality win. They've beaten the Sixers twice as the Sixers toil here to start the season. And they beat the Spurs, which, when Wembanyama was active, again, I don't think that is a easy matchup when you think about the league as a whole. Only one of their seven losses would I consider to be bad, for lack of a better term. That was against Portland by one back on October 30th. They have a pair of losses to each of the Thunder, the Suns, and the Rockets. So are the Clippers for real?
I'm shocked by this one. Probably the team that has surprised me the most in the NBA this season. Five straight wins, and I don't want to hear about the injuries and the players that aren't there. There have been plenty of teams, Philadelphia, who've struggled with the Orlando Magic without Paolo Banchero. So there's still an element of the team is playing at a certain level. You're still traveling. You're still battling. Coaches making moves. It is very impressive. Biggest shock I've had this year have been the Clippers. Five in a row, Utah, Golden State, Orlando, Sacramento, and the Sixers. Comfortably, by the way, in pretty much all those games except for Golden State. Super impressive job here. There's consistency. And what happens when you play teams and get on a winning streak, even if their stars aren't there, players are falling into roles. That's going to help you later in the season.
Well, I think, like, you talk about Coach of the Year odds. If this continues, Ty Lue probably deserves a shout in that fashion. But what I'm looking at 100%. in the betting market now is plus 120 for the Clippers to make the Western Conference playoffs. And you talk about, right, we can sometimes discount teams for guys who aren't there or you know, shorthanded matchups, what have you. But Kawhi Leonard will be back at some point. Right? Like, again, well, I'll knock on wood here that there's nothing crazy and we haven't seen the last of my namesake, but the last time we saw Kawhi, he was playing at close to, if not at, an all-NBA level. So if he's anywhere close to that and you inject him back into this team for any sort of extended period of time, if they can stay in the top eight here or, you know, even in the play-in and make it out of the play-in, like, this, again, long way to go here in the NBA season, but, like, the Clippers, they have started to turn my head, and I think you may see this type of narrative about them start to pick up steam over the next week or two if they keep it up.
It's ancillary players ascending into roles and whether they can sustain those roles. Perfect example, Derrick Jones. Derrick Jones flashed with the blocks and the steals. He was critical for Dallas last year. He's gotten 17 points and 18 points. And Zach, what's really impressive what he's done, he's 1 of 5 from three-point range. So it's not like he caught fire one night and had three or four threes, and you could say it's an outlier. So he's built 7-7-8, 17-18. He's making his free throws. You know he's active with the stocks. That sort of player, if that can be maintained when Kawhi Leonard comes back, that's the difference between cashing that bet to the playoffs or not. Great opportunity. Derrick Jones taking advantage of it.
Between now and Christmas Day, they will go home and home against Minnesota. They've got a back-to-back on the road against Dallas. They're in Boston tonight. They host Denver on the first of the month. They host the Rockets a week later. So the schedule, not getting any easier, really, in the near term for the Clippers. So a couple weeks from now, by the time we get to Christmas, I think we will have a more clear answer to the question, are the Clippers for real? And then kind of on the other side, the team that I mentioned they're tied with, the Lakers, is their early season success a mirage, Mike? Again, tied for fourth in the West at 10-6. And my argument here is, I don't think they have what I would consider a quality win since the first week of the season, right? This Lakers team, again, 10-6, started the season 3-0. We were very, very high on them, singing the praises of J.J. Redick after that first week, right? Home Minnesota, home Phoenix, home Sacramento. That's great. But since then, their seven wins, Toronto, Philly, Toronto, shorthanded Memphis, at the Spurs in the NBA Cup. I think to me, that's a pretty good win. You could also argue Memphis. At New Orleans, home Utah. There's no good wins in there. Again, I think if you wanted to say the Spurs aren't a good win either, I think that would be fair enough. They have a negative point differential. The other West teams that do, Phoenix Suns, again, have been without Kevin Durant. They are on a losing streak themselves. Then Portland, Utah, and the Pelicans, the bottom three teams. I remember the hot takes before the season. I said the Lakers would miss the playoffs. Again, I don't know. I still think that is a hot take, but I'm hesitant to crown the Lakers a good team with what they have put out there on film, on paper. Oh, since the first week of the season, I don't think they have been explicitly a good team.
Zach, they're not a good team. I did not believe in J.J. Redick when the season started. I didn't back off of that because of the start. Sure. I just shut up a little bit because I can't be an idiot if they're winning. I don't believe in J.J. Redick. I don't think he's going to solve all the problems. And as great as LeBron is, he's incredible. Anthony Davis, this is a team, Zach, that over the last four seasons has won 47, 43, 33, and 42 games. So when they get off to a great start, I'm not going to sit here and say this is just going to continue, that J.J. Redick from his podcast has somehow found the magic elixir to solve the Lakers' issues. No. Imagine they didn't have Dalton Connect right now, where they'd be. I am fading the Lakers. What is going to happen is this team is going to come back to the pack, which they already are. They're going to be in that sort of barely making the playoff, and then AD's going to be out for a couple weeks. Then LeBron's going to take a couple games off. Connect's going to have 50. That's what's going to happen. And then they're going to try to make a run like they've done before from the 8 seed or the 7 seed. So to me, this is just Mother Nature and some good old-fashioned regression. Let's see, J.J. Redick, how you do now that you're going to hit a little bit of adversity. Let's see when AD doesn't want to play and LeBron's saying, look, I need a couple days off. Let's see how you handle it here. We already saw the frustration coming out at some players when they were shooting and during the game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
This, to me, is normal. It's nature's course. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, I think both conferences, right? It's still so early that you look in the Eastern Conference between the 4-seeded Knicks and the 12th-seeded Hornets, just 3 games separating those teams. From the Lakers in 4th place to the Timberwolves in 11th, just 2 games separating all those teams in the West. So, again, you are a win streak or a losing streak away from jumping or falling precipitously in either conference. So we'll keep our eyes on the two LA teams. And then some news tonight that just broke about an hour ago, Mike. We talked about Kristaps Porzingis last Monday when he was sent down to the Maine Celtics and my issues with getting rid of the Red Claws nickname there. We can put those in the past. Kristaps Porzingis, he's putting the Maine Celtics in the past as well. He will make his debut for the first team tonight in Boston as they host the Clippers. And I told you before we hit record today, this is a legitimate shock to me. I did not, even with him being sent down to Maine last week, I expected still a multiple week delay before we saw him at the NBA level. And the league is in trouble, man. Like, Celtics with Porzingis are a different beast.
They certainly are. And he was fantastic last year. I was shocked by this also. It doesn't make sense that he would come back this quickly unless all the reporting that we heard about how serious it was sort of misleading. Maybe they were just being conservative. He is 29. He's not on the wrong side of 30 yet. And he was fantastic last year during the playoffs. 20 points against Dallas, 18-18 against Miami. Just did a remarkable job. And even at the end of the season, he was putting up double-doubles, 3 consecutive games, Oak City, Sacramento, Portland. This is great news. It's great news for minor dog best ball teams. It's great news for the Celtics. It's great news for everyone. Porzingis back tonight. And I bet he comes out hot. I look at some of his overs for his props tonight.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get any information about potential minutes limits, what have you. And we'll, of course, see if he's in that starting lineup. It's the first game of our Monday night slate. Back after 5 months since that procedure. We've got Klay Thompson questionable. So Dallas, Atlanta, that's on the docket tonight. Let's see what else we have our eyes on here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tonight on Monday, the 2 games that I've got my eye on here, Mike, Knicks at Nuggets. Karl-Anthony Towns is questionable. From a watchability standpoint, I think we want him to play. But either way, two of the, I think, certainly above average teams squaring off in Mile High tonight. And then Thunder at the Kings. Chet still out. But Isaiah Hartenstein made his return last week. Came off the bench 28 and a half minutes. I bet he gets into this starting lineup tonight against Domantas Sabonis, who is back for Sacramento. DeMar DeRozan also back for the Kings. So I think that kind of late-night hammer there in the DFS world is one that will be on my television screen tonight.
Yeah, J-Dub's done a remarkable job there filling in. So Hartenstein should get in the lineup tonight. I am fascinated by this Knicks-Denver game. I think this is a Knick win. Denver was amazing against the Lakers, but they're still shorthanded. Knicks were on fire, went away to Utah and struggled. I expect a big bounce back tonight, a physical game. Jokic, amazing, wonderful, the clear MVP at this point right now. But I think this is a Knicks win tonight. Looking forward to this. I expect a big performance out there in Denver.
All right, so Tuesday, of course, is another NBA Cup group stage slate. Only 5 games on Tuesday, though, so again, I'm going to watch all 5 of these or as much of them as I possibly can. We're starting with the Bulls at the Wizards. And the Bulls right now, 1-1, Wizards already eliminated at 0-2. So it's a must win for the Bulls on the road. Then we've got your Bucks going down to South Beach, taking on Miami. This is a must win for the Heat at 1-1. And again, a win for the Bucks could potentially win them the group if the Pistons fall off. Or excuse me, they can't because the Pistons have the Bucks next, but 3-0 could potentially solidify a wild card berth and again put them on the precipice of winning that group.
Boy, if the Bulls can't get this game against Washington, I mean, this is pretty bad. I root for the Bulls. They've disappointed, but this should be a spot they should get even on the road. I do not like this Bucks matchup against the Heat. I don't like it. They're 1-6 away from home this year, Milwaukee. Giannis has been incredible. He's 33-12-6.5. Don't like the matchup here, Zach. I'm going to take Miami in this one. Right now, look ahead spreads Miami by 1.5. That's an easy one to me, especially with Miami needing the game.
Yeah, and you're looking at the Pistons also taking on the Pacers. That will come on Friday, but East Group B, if the Bucks do not take care of business, could get a little down and dirty here. Maybe this could be the group where we have a 2-2 team advance. Yes. You know, I think that's going to be very rare in the NBA Cup group stage over these first couple years of the tournament, but I want maximum chaos here, at least for everybody outside of my favorite team. If the Spurs could skate on through, which of course they already took a loss, then I would take that. But speaking of the Spurs, they will travel to Utah. It is a must win for 1-1 San Antonio, the Jazz 0-2, already likely out of this group. Houston travels to Minnesota, as we mentioned earlier. This is a must win for the 1-1 Timberwolves, and the Rockets can clinch the group with a victory here. And then the late night hammer, Lakers at Suns, 2-0 Lakers. I think they can lock up West Group B with a win here if I am reading these standings correctly. And it is a must win for the 1-1 Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, right now it's San Antonio -2.5 against Utah. That's an easy take for me with the Spurs. It's Houston getting 3.5 against Minnesota. I am not laying 3.5 to Udoka anymore. Not doing that. Those are easy picks for me. Looking forward to these games, meaningful games. And the teams that are the better teams, I think the NBA Cup has done exactly what we wanted, which is to get maximum effort and focus. I expect the coaches and the teams that I like that have been playing well to continue to do so here. Big Tuesday night.
Wednesday, we get back to just our regularly scheduled regular season games. I think Lakers at Spurs, of course, both of them will be on the second end of a back-to-back. So the fans in San Antonio may not see LeBron James or Anthony Davis, or maybe their own Victor Wembanyama on the second end of the back-to-back. But assuming all those guys play, Mike, when they have over the last year and some change, those games have been very fun to watch, even if my favorite team hasn't come out on top more often than not. And then you get Thunder at Warriors as a late-night hammer on Wednesday's large slate. And it is a big slate because the NBA takes Thanksgiving off, allows us to focus on college hoops, allows us to focus on NFL, and then, oh yeah, you know, the friends and family Thanksgiving thing too. So to that end, programming note, no Thursday episode this week. So Mike and I will be back next Monday, and we'll have a lot to go through from this past week.
Yeah, no Thursday college basketball betting show either. Prepared here, Zach, for Sirius. Can't wait to have you on Sirius to talk some NBA as we get closer to the turn of the calendar. But yeah, Wednesday night's a great night for basketball across the board. Fantastic games. Let's see Cleveland finish off what has been a phenomenal, phenomenal first half, basically first third of the year against Atlanta at home. Love watching them. They're must watch for me. So that's where I'll be tuned in on Wednesday night before I head out to Amherst, Massachusetts to see my brother-in-law and the turkey.
There you go. We'll close out episode 25 as we always do with a little stock up, stock down, headed into our holiday. Mike, what's your stock down episode 25?
Yeah, stock down two things. Number one, Tyrese Halliburton, we love you. You have not gotten over the hangover for the Olympics. We need you to start get going here for the Pacers. Second one I'm adding right now, Zach, what about Fred VanVleet? I mean, what are you doing, Fred? Okay. What are you doing? Pointing your finger, yelling. He had the tirade at the press conference last year, I think it was. Then he's putting his finger in the guy's face. I don't know how long that's going to be a suspension, but it should be an automatic one. Terrible job by you. The Rockets are overachieving. They're playing well. Shut up and play. It's calls, Fred. Give me a break.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen discipline handed down yet, unless I missed it, and I don't think I did.
Haven't seen it yet, yep.
I would also expect a suspension before tomorrow night's group stage match. I'm talking about group stages. I'm thinking soccer here. We'll keep our eye on Fred. My stock down is actually me, Mike, and my decisions on Saturday night, because Spurs and Warriors down in San Antonio, that game started at 7:30 Central here, and I had tickets with my lovely fiance to go see Gladiator 2 at 9:15. So that game is entering the fourth quarter. A couple minutes to go in the third quarter. Spurs down double digits as they had been throughout the game. So I'm thinking, all right, you know, probably not happening for my boys here tonight. Let's see what this Gladiator 2 is about. Because I have, and look, maybe a cultural foul for me here. I have not seen the first movie, but I know what happened. I watched a little recap, right? So I'm ready for movie number two. And no spoilers here, just my own anecdotal opinion. I thought the movie was horrible, and I turned my phone back on after the movie to messages from all of my Spurs friends. So I know what happened. You open up the box score, huge comeback, 33-13, fourth quarter for my Spurs. So a stock up to the Spurs, but stock down to me for the that. I mean, maybe the worst 1v1 of the year for me in that decision, going to Gladiator 2 instead of sticking with my boys and watching a great comeback.
Happy wife, happy life. Yeah. Zach, you may have lost the battle, but you will win the war. Yeah. My friend. I've been there many times.
All right, stock up here on episode 25. What do you got?
Giannis has been incredible. He has to go to this level. I know he doesn't want to. He's always looking. Obviously, he's a team player. He's an unselfish guy. But he's got to go 35-15 basically every night right now until they figure out the rotations, until they get some more consistency on offense. And the defense, please, ever improves. And on the other side, how about J-Dub? This Oklahoma City Thunder team loses Chet Holmgren. Hartenstein's hurt before the season starts. Now he's back. He's played center minutes. The team is still winning. He's getting mobbed in the post-game interviews. Great job by him. Unsung, sort of really a most improved player, like that type of guy. And he's so unselfish in his step forward and has been performing both ends of the floor out of position. Stock up for J-Dub and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, embarrassment of riches there in Oklahoma City. My stock up is the Memphis Grizzlies here. And really just because they have stayed afloat through a myriad of injuries dating back to early September. We still don't have GG Jackson back, and we lose Vince Williams Jr. after he just makes his return. But Desmond Bane is healthy. Marcus Smart is still working his way back from an illness. But Jaren Jackson is there. John Morant in shoot-around should play here tonight. And I'm looking at a Memphis Grizzlies team sitting at 10-7, a half game out of the 4 seed in the West. It seems like at present, they have made it through this first big injury haymaker that they were thrown by the injury gods, and they have emerged victorious at 10-7. So watch out for the Grizzlies the next couple of weeks as they continue to get more and more healthy. Their Coach Jenkins is going to find ways to continue this little winning streak that they're on.
Don't have to tell me twice. Ja is back. I'm a happy camper. Just stay healthy, Ja, and this team can get very far in the playoffs.
Anything else for you, Mike, before we shut it down today?
That's it. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Honored to be with you and to do this once a week. Fife Dog in the house. He's been fantastic also. NBA content, NBA data, all the charting that you're doing, the models, DFS, you kill it. Just a great thing. Very thankful here to be part of FTN, all the great stuff with you, sir. And looking forward to a nice Wednesday here before we do a little college basketball for Feast Week and a little NFL on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll get one more stock up in here just for you and I, because it is Thanksgiving week. We love Thanksgiving, and I can't wait. Counting down the hours till Thursday. No NBA, just food, football, and I'll be tuned into your college hoops content. And I hope all of you listening will be as well. Appreciate you all tuning in, sticking with us here in episode 25 of the FTN Fast Break podcast. One more reminder, no podcast on Thursday. So Mike and I will be back this time next week, next Monday, recapping the week that was in the basketball world. Enjoy your holiday week, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Monday. Till then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye. We'll be right back.